T-minus 9. Unknown location.
Holy wow, Billy Kendrick said, blurting out the first words that came to mind when his post-flash eyes attempted to readjust to the world around him. This wasn't a simple task, given that his current surroundings were like none those eyes had ever encountered. Even Dan, no stranger to the messenger's vehicles, had never been transported into one in this manner. The utter whiteness of the walls, the floor, and the ceiling remained almost as disorienting now as it had during that first time at Lolo. But today there was far more on his mind than what lay beyond the door-like boundary he had never been allowed to pass. Compared to the whole new world that could be lying in wait on New Kerguelen, this doorway held less pull than normal. But Billy, somewhat understandably, had other ideas and slowly walked towards it. Leisha stopped him with a gentle but frightening application of telekinesis, pulling Billy back ever so slightly and quickly persuading him not to try again.
You could have said stop, Billy said in mild consternation, before his eyes widened all over again.
He pointed to his own fingertips and then his neck.
Yeah, do the uplift and then you will be able to talk to us.
Dan performed similar gestures, getting the message through to Leisha, who proceeded to produce the two small parts of the uplifter once again from the almost invisible pouch at the back of his skin-tight tunic. The silvery blue of his skin contrasted with the white tunic in an aesthetically pleasing manner, certainly more so than if he had been a stereotypical little green man or if his tunic had been a more aggressive bright red or anything similar. When Billy felt that skin for the first time as Leisha took hold of his fingers and placed them against the intersection of the miraculous object, it felt soft and smooth. It wasn't rough, it wasn't scaled, it wasn't slimy. Baby's bottom was the cliche that came right to Billy's mind, and even the unshakable oddness of Leisha's hand didn't evoke any pejorative word like claw. Just like so much else about the messengers, it wasn't bad, it was just different.
It's gonna hurt, Dan said, reminding Billy of this for his own good. Just know that it won't last and you'll be fine.
The smile on Billy's face told both Dan and Leisha that he was ready, and it returned in its full glory immediately after the 5-second interval in which his whole face contorted into something more gargoyle than archaeologist. Billy stared at his fingers, contemplating the inhuman power within them.
Is this telekinesis too? He asked.
No answer came, because Dan didn't know and Leisha didn't understand. Billy then placed his thumb and middle finger into the famous activation position and pointed his extended index finger at Leisha. No words or thoughts came to him.
Leisha, Dan said, slowly and loudly uttering the one word the alien definitely understood.
Once he had his attention, Dan walked to the alien and handed him the part of the uplift device Billy had dropped to the floor while its effects kicked in. He then touched the alien's neck and fingertips, making it as clear as he could that it was time for Leisha to restore his own uplift ability to understand both human speech and thoughts and to reply telepathically. After a few seconds waiting for Leisha to signal that he understood, Dan winked and nodded in greatly exaggerated fashion. A broad and forever odd-looking smile crossed Leisha's face. Wasting no more time, he placed his fingers on the inner part of one device and handed the other to Dan. Having seen the procedure twice in the past hour or so, Dan knew very well what he had to do. He touched the correct part of the other device to Leisha's neck and waited. He prepared himself for the possibility of convulsions, in case the messengers felt the pain even more than humans did, and at least for some unsettling expressions.
I can hear him, Billy yelled in delight, letting Dan know that the procedure was over before he knew it had even fully begun. He says I do have the telekinesis as well as telepathy, because they can't give us one or the other. Wait, no, with this device, they can't do one or the other. He used a different thing to take away his own telepathy before he came to Earth, and it only took away his interspecies telepathy.
Okay, Dan said impatiently rather than indifferently. Leisha was already positioning the device on Dan's neck, and it was his fingers' turn a few seconds later. Dan reacted more to the pain than Leisha had. It didn't seem possible to react less than not at all, but nowhere near as much as Billy.
He didn't quite understand why it didn't feel as immensely painful as last time, particularly given that the more basic communications cable had been literally ripped from the same area of his neck so recently. Adrenaline didn't do that, as he knew well enough, so he assumed it was perhaps something to do with the fact that he'd had the powers before, and thus that less uplifting work was perhaps required. Terra, another prior recipient, had certainly felt it earlier in the night, but in hindsight, Dan didn't think it had looked as bad as during her first procedure. It didn't matter enormously in the greater scheme of things, but he still couldn't help but think about such things. Though entirely secondary to his driving motivation of curing Piper, he looked forward to a day when all of these questions could be explored and answered without any urgent problems hanging over either Earth or New Kerguelen. "What kind of ship is this?" Billy asked, instinctively saying the words aloud.
"The mothership," Leisha replied.
Billy grinned from ear to ear, partly at the content of the response. He was inside an alien mothership, and partly because hearing it in a truly telepathic manner was far cooler than via a remarkable but somewhat cumbersome table and cable combination. "Makes sense," Dan said. The fact that he didn't say this, but still got it across loud and clear, brought an even bigger smile to Billy's face. "I think this mothership and the squadron's craft might be the only ones that can make the journey between the two planets."
"Passing the gate in our smaller craft is dangerous," Leisha confirmed. "When we flew over you in Lolo, Billy, that craft had arrived in Earth's atmosphere inside this one, as it always does."
"You learn something new every day," Billy said. "Billy, you don't need to actually talk," Dan replied, utterly silently. Billy raised three fingers and counted down to one. "Hello?" he said. Or thought, to be more precise. Hello, Dan replied. "This is insane," Billy grinned, getting the hang of it enough to say this without speaking.
"You will get used to it," Leisha replied. "But please, respect the privacy of my kind when we arrive. Those who have the power will know if you try to listen to their thoughts, and in any case, they are well practiced and do not involuntarily express thoughts, so the effort would be wasted. Additionally, please do not use telekinesis on New Kerguelen. This power is greatly restricted among our kind, and for good reason."
"Loud and clear," Billy replied, the words ironically silent, but clear. "So how long does the journey feel like it takes? Is it just a flash?" Leisha stepped towards an unremarkable section of the white wall and held his hand against it, bringing forth from its recess two seats that Dan remembered well.
"It will feel like an instant," the alien confirmed. "But you must be enclosed for your own safety."
Dan led the way and chose a seat, with Billy following unquestioningly. A bubble-like enclosure then emerged and covered the men. "Next thing you know," Dan said. "A flash," said the rest.